want you to know that it's not without a fight that this word is coming to you, that it's not without pushing past everything the devil puts on me to try to get me to sit down and give up, that this word tonight is as a result of me choosing to press on anyway. I could very well say no. I could very well say not tonight. But tonight is a result of me making a choice. And I'm making the choice for my life to live. And I'm choosing to fight for what's important to me. And if you don't have that kind of fight in you, then it's time that you turn unto God and let Him restore the first love unto you. If this is just going through the motions, don't go through another day of this. You'll get miserable that way. But surely there is a love that you can feel, and there is a joy that you can have, and a happiness that nobody else can give you, that will give you greater peace than anything else this world could give. You could invest everything you have in stocks and bonds, but it would never prosper the way that you would if you invest your life in God. There is greater value in investing in Him. What do I invest, brother? Give Him all your cares, he said. He said, give me everything that's on your mind, that's on your heart, and I will be there all the way, even unto the end. Why? Because He said, I care for you. That's a powerful phrase that we must put in here and apply it in our life. He cares about you. Don't you know that tonight? God loves you tonight. He cares about your life. He cares about your tomorrow, and He will be with you. All you got to do is realize that He's already there. Turn with me in the fourth chapter of the book of Genesis. We're going to read a little bit. We're going to start at the beginning of that chapter at verse 1. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time it came to pass that Cain brought the fruit of the ground, an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock, and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel, to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother. And it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother, and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now thou art cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. And Cain said unto the Lord, My punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out from this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid. And I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth. And it shall come to pass that every one that findeth me shall slay me. Read one more verse for now. And the Lord said unto him, Therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. Tonight we open up in this scripture and read about the story of two brothers, birthed from the origins of the earth as we know it and mankind as we have today. We know them as Cain and Abel. They were brothers, and they both were good at a certain thing. Both of them were giving offerings unto God, but one brought something that was of greater respect to God than another. And in that frustration of the one brother not receiving the respect, he grew angry and wrathful over the things that he did feel like was deserving of respect, and in that grew jealous of the one he had grew up with his whole life, the one that had been his brother forever. And in that moment, he took his life
as an act of wrath upon him in order to gain some kind of justice over what he felt like he had been wrong. And in that moment, the Lord called upon him to answer for these deeds that he had performed. And in that moment, he said, basically, he was saying, I don't keep up with him. He's not my business. You should know. God put a mark upon his life. And I want to read a couple verses again, because I want to bring this out. He said in verse 10, and he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which have opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. Verse 12, whatsoever thou tillest on the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. The Lord has greatly taken care of my life. And it did not come without a fight. There was something that had to happen in order for me to live in victory. The enemy, which is sin as we know it, had to face the respect of God. There was a reason for sin to be cursed and for it to forever not have a hold on our lives as it did before we knew Christ. But by the sacrifice of what Christ has done for us today, we have the ability to be free from our past sin and to be liberated into being able to rebuke sin as we know it now. Tonight I bring a word for those of you who has felt like that the enemy has slain you. I know this is peculiar, and I felt it in me when God gave it, but I know that when I feel his word in me, that I don't doubt it, because it has always helped me. There was something to be said about the moment that happened when the enemy had finally thought he had taken the good that God had respected. There was a moment when he felt a sense of pride, like he had already won. He had already stolen the gifts and goods from him, never for it to reproduce in the same way that it once did before. But this deed did not go unpunished. It did not get looked over, but was immediately recognized by God, recognized to speak unto the enemy which slayed him. He wasn't just talking to the man, but he was talking about the substance of the man that decided he was going to take what was God's. And there was that moment in time where the enemy, although he could get away with it with other fellow human beings, could not get away from when God came and spoke and called upon him to speak to what he had done. I saw something peculiar in these words. He said, the voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. Now, some of us might read that and say, well, he was just dead and his blood went down into the soil. There's nothing more to read out of that. But how can you take something that in its substance is not called to cry, but yet in its essence brings forth God's wrath upon the enemy? What is it that was in the blood that caused God to turn and to go forth and bring wrath upon the enemy? Friends, I'm here to tell you that there is not a battle that you lose something. Lose your mind, lose your blood, lose your money, lose your health. There is not a time that you lose something that God does not see where that blood is spilled. There's not a moment in time when somebody speaks ill of you and it hurts you that God doesn't know, that he doesn't recognize when that terror has been brought upon you. Abel was doing all that he knew to do and had found favor in the sight of God, but yet there was someone that was doing the same act, but yet lacked the substance therein. And friends, I'm here to tell you that I love you, and I love you dearly, but I cannot guarantee that everybody that sits in the midst of you at church or at your job or in your life has the greatest of intentions. There are going to come an hour when you're doing the best that you can, that they're going to prey upon the good that you do. And there'll be an hour when they press hard against you, not even knowing why that they're even doing it at all, but they have to go after that which had gained a greater respect in the eyes of God. But I'm here to preach to you tonight that though though our blood be running for the cause of Christ, and though we receive the lashes of this world today, and though we suffer as Christ suffered because he did it first, and though we endure these things now, that there's not a drop of your life that God doesn't care about. There's not a drop of your being that God has not saw the hurt that has taken place over you. There has not been a moment where he didn't see the lack that you went through. There's not a moment where he didn't see the hurt and the pain and the times when you had lost your will. There's not been a moment where he didn't look over and see your pain.
If we walk in fear of the oppressor, then our substance has no opportunity to cry out. If we let the enemy simply win because he won this one thing, then all that you have went through to get you where you are now is meaningless. Why am I still here? I asked myself when I was on my way tonight. Why am I still getting in my car, putting on my seatbelt, and getting determined to get to the house of God? Why am I still bringing my Bible with a thought in my spirit to share to others? Why am I even bothering bringing a songbook to sing a song? What is it that's in me that is causing me to still not be afraid? And I'm here to tell you that it's not anything in me, but it's something that I have endured in the blood that has been shed out of my life, that God has recognized my suffering, and there's going to come a day when he will speak to my enemies. There's going to be a day when he'll speak to the things that have tried to ensnare me. I'm talking about back in the day, and I'm talking about today. There's going to be a day when all the things I endure now that are difficult, that God will not let go by without a justice and without a recompense of the things that I have lost. I know that you feel broken. I know that you feel confused. But there will be a day when the enemy will answer for the actions that he's brought upon you. For if God saw it even then, he sees it surely now. And he will go after those that try to attack you. He will go forth and bring his wrath. He's not only a God of love, but he's also a God of wrath. He's not one to beat you up over how you failed, but he's going to go after that devil that has tried to keep you failing and failing and failing, and he will answer for what he has done. He said, anybody that tries to take out Cain, suffer even greater than his suffering. What a loving God that we have, that cares about making sure that we receive justice even when we couldn't even get it for ourselves. What a God that loves us when we couldn't have pled our case to him about how that we deserve to be forgiven and how that we've done enough at church to be forgiven. Honey, you can't do enough in this world to prove to anybody that you're good. You can't dress good enough to prove to anybody that you're somebody. You can't do enough and go through the motions enough to prove anything. But all that you need to get through this life is God to find you pleasing. All that you've got to do is find yourself in a place of respect to the Lord. Respect is not just given. Respect is earned. He is wanting a body that is desiring his respect. He's looking for Christians that won't just go through the vainglory, but to desire beyond even having glory for oneself. You might think what you need to be happy is to finally win that fight one day, but he showed me that's not where your victory is. You might think that you need all the money in this world to take care of your family, to leave something behind that they can pay off your debt and put it in a will. And you might think that's what it's going to take to keep their lives. But friend, it's not enough. The same blood that was required every year for our atonement came from innocence. The same blood came when God sent an incarnate man to be as God, to walk among us. And when that blood was shed, it brought us a freedom we didn't deserve. And it brought us hope we could have never found. And it opened the door to a comforter that we would have not been worthy to receive before this. By the shedding of that blood, we're able to live today in the middle of suffering.
Paul's last greetings that he wrote out to his brothers and sisters was that they would stay strong in the Lord and to learn to find peace in the middle of all that they are going through. And I'm not preaching about getting to glory. I think if you've been going to church 20 years, you already should be excited about getting to glory. But what I'm talking about right now is real everyday battles that you're going through. I'm talking about the voice of the tempter when he comes to ensnare you, to turn you away to the lust of your flesh. I'm talking about the voice of justice that tells you you've got to say the last word. You've got to get the last laugh. You've got to prove yourself and let people see that you mean business. I'm talking about a voice of depression that tells you that you can't do it, that tells you that you're not worthy to live, that tells you that you can't be who you are and people love you for who you are. I'm talking about a voice that tries to come, and I'm telling you, Satan is roaming this earth right now, and he's seeking whom he can consume. He'll take from you, and he'll steal from you, and he'll destroy you. He'll destroy what you have, and he'll take everything that you've got, even unto your body. But friend, I'm here to tell you that he's going to answer for every idle thing and every idle word that he's brought against the children of God. Don't think that you're without an ally, for God will go forth and cause these enemies to be underneath our feet. He said they're under our feet. He said that we have the ability to cast out demons. We have the ability to lay the hands upon the sick and they shall recover. He said we have the ability because we don't have to fight the fight against cancer one-on-one. We don't have to fight the fight against those that are wronging us and talking ill of us. We don't have to fight that fight anymore because we've got somebody. I feel the presence of God. You can get in with me now, or you're going to watch me enjoy it on my own. But there is a God in heaven who has never left me, and every battle that I'm going to go through, the enemy will answer for, because I shed a blood that's not even my own anymore. I shed a blood that has God in me, and through Christ, I will do this. Through Christ, I will overcome. Through Christ, the devil has to answer. Oh, every form of darkness will be brought under subjection. When I realize that, I realize how blood can cry out from the ground. I understand the mystery of those words now. Isn't it wonderful to know that even the suffering you suffer is not only your suffering? For if you have said that you believe, you no longer suffer alone. For if you have said that you believe, then God never leaves us. He can't leave someone that don't want him. That word's talking about somebody that is accepting him. And here's the great thing about it. Abel's legacy was not left to be just slain, but life comes forth once again. Go down with me unto verse 25 of the fourth chapter. I like this part. And Adam knew his wife again, that saying, and he made love to her. And she bare a son and called his name Seth. For God said, she hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, which whom Cain slew. And to Seth, to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. And then began man to call upon the name of the Lord. Where life has once been taken, God will resupply. Where you had once lost, he will supply the gain. Where you had once been down, he will give you a cause to get back up again. And you read the lineage of Seth, and his territory was expanded out as you read over in that across the sea. And he began to go out and branch out even unto the sons and grandsons. And you read this lineage, and it begins to bring forth people that we know as Abraham. And as the lineage begins to go on, you begin to read about all the other children that was brought forth that were in service to God. So if you lose something now, don't give up and live in fear of that thing. But get yourself up and know that they have to answer to God. You don't even have to tell them they're going to answer to the Lord. You don't have to fight that fight on your own anymore. That battle is no longer yours. And when you try to do it on your own, you're taking God out of the bigger picture. For it's meant for you to go through it with God rather than fight it all on your own. And only when we let God in from the beginning unto the very end, where we let him have everything that we were dealing with and everything we suffered through and everything that we didn't want to let go of, then God can move. Then he goes forth. Then respect is shown. And upon whom God favors, he fights for.